1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. We are still going verse by verse through 1 John. We will be here a year next week. It's done flown by, hadn't it? So let's stand tonight, if you're able, and we'll read verse 29 together. 1 John 2:29, the Word of God says, "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Father, we are thankful you are righteous, the righteous one. We are thankful for the evidences in our lives after you save us. And help us tonight to understand your Word, that we would have the right heart in looking at ourselves and others, that we'd understand that we may be doing good today and we may not have slipped, but tomorrow we may, so that we wouldn't kick others while they're down, but we would point all to you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is Two Established Facts. Two Established Facts. Verse 29 says, if you know that he is righteous, the word if there, you can really put there since. Since you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. These are two established facts from the Word of God. Jesus Christ is righteous. And all who are truly saved will also live a righteous lifestyle. Christ is the perfect Lamb of God without any blemish. He never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ never experienced sin. Not in thought, not in word, not in deed. Christ was not born a sinner as you and I are. He was born of the seed of God, not of the seed of man. When we read this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it points us to Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That's only one, Jesus Christ. That narrows it down, amen?
Right.
Only Christ could be the one that could pay our sin. Christ is God. God put God on the cross. Christ is the only Savior this world has ever known. Therefore, he is the Savior of the world. And he has paid the sin debt of all who has and will believe. He is the only righteous one. When you and I are saved, his righteousness is imputed to you and I. It's placed to our account. And then our unrighteousness, our sins, was imputed to him on the cross, put to his account. It's as if we had never sinned. And it's as if he had always sinned, though yet sinless. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the peoples. Now understand what they would do in the Old Testament sacrifices. The priest must first atone for his own sins before he could atone for the people's sins. Christ didn't have to do that because he had no sin. And then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. He said, men that are made the priest by the law, these men have infirmity, these men have sin. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who was consecrated forevermore. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Christ, understand, is the sinless one. He is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, having never known sin. Now look at verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without what? Spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I want you to notice that when we are saved, we are purged from dead works. As we learned this morning, to serve the living God. Back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, the Bible says, if you know that he is righteous, and Scripture proves this, we could stay here for days upon days upon days talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Scripture proves this. And if you know he is righteous, since you know he is righteous, look at the rest of verse 29, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Doeth here is in the present tense and is continuous or repeated action. The emphasis here is placed on what they do, not what they say. What we do stems from the work that Christ has done in us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Look in verse 10. We'll do a lot of flipping tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse 10. We are very familiar with verses 8 and 9. So it's for by grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk is an action word, and this word walk is something that we do over and over again. So the word doeth here in verse 29, again, it's a present tense, and it means continuous or repeated action. Now, I want to ask you a question. If I was walking with Christ, and Christ is going yonder way, and I'm going with Christ, and I'm walking with him, am I standing still? What am I doing? I'm walking. One step at a time, I'm walking with Christ. We are his workmanship. We are a work in progress, we can say. Because of justification, we are in sanctification. Justification is the act whereby God, though we are guilty, proclaims us to be innocent. This is what happens at the moment of salvation. We are justified. Then starts the sanctification process. This is whereby God, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, sin is being gotten out of our lives. We're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ as we walk with Him. And we will be in the sanctification process until we die. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. I want to remind you that John, the apostle here, he loves these people whom he's writing to. And these churches, he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor. What is the church made up of? Saved people. The church is saved people. There were also heretics in this church whom John was addressing. And he was exposing these heretics in this church. But I said that to say this. Understand that a pastor, a true pastor, Lord, help me here. There are so many men today who claim to be pastors who are in it just for the money. They don't care about the people. They are hirelings, the Bible calls them, hirelings. If they find better money somewhere else, guess what? They go on somewhere else chasing the dollar. But for a pastor who loves the people whom God has placed under him to teach, he is concerned with their sanctification. He is concerned with their growth. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul writes, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The word chaste here, it means clean, pure, and modest. Understand, this was Paul's desire. That the people whom he taught, the people whom he proclaimed the Word of God to, that when Christ came back, listen, guess who God holds responsible for the teaching of the Word of God? The pastors. The pastor teachers. Those in authority. God holds us responsible for teaching and preaching the Word of God, not our opinion. And this is Paul's desire, that when Christ comes, I can present you to him as a chaste virgin, of someone who is not chaste after idols, of someone who is not chaste in this world, but yet is serving you. This should also be the desire of every pastor, that the people would grow. And I want to say this, it is a great desire and a great joy for me to see you grow. Amen? To see you grow in the Word, to grow in the Lord, that you're adding to your faith, all these things the Bible says add to your faith, Lord. And listen, it is a great joy for me, and it should be a joy for the pastor to teach and preach the Word of God and the pastor. And it is a joy here at Richardson Baptist Church. In Colossians 1:28, Paul also writes this, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Again, you see his overwhelming desire here, that he may see the people grow and grow and grow and become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. One day, Paul will stand before Jesus and he wants to be able to say, "Lord, I've done what you told me to do. Lord, I stood on your word. Lord, I've preached your word. I've given your word, Lord. I haven't manipulated people, their minds, their hearts, or their passions. I've simply given them the word of God." Brother Darrell touched on us this morning. I believe it was in his lesson for Sunday school over in 2 Timothy. Was that you, Brother Darrell, or was that Brother Pat? Brother Pat. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what Paul tells Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Watch what he says here. Preach the word. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And folks, when people are not getting the truth, they are not being sanctified. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The only way to know how God would have us live and be sanctified is by his word. If we are not in his word, we're guessing. Like Mr. Miyagi said, if you guess, you're like the grape in the middle of the road, you go squish, squish. It's not good to guess. Paul simply gave the Word of God. Peter simply gave the Word of God. James simply gave the Word of God. Jude simply gave the Word of God. And John here in 1 John is simply given the Word of God. Verse 29 of 1 John 2, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. This word is born is to have received from God a new spiritual life. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus. He says a man must be what? Born again or born from above. And this born again or born from above, this is a new spiritual life. See, you and I were first dead spiritually. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. But at the moment of justification, at the moment of salvation, we are justified and a new spiritual life begins. And from that point forward, we are in a sanctification process. This is a distinction when this action takes place. And it has continuous results. Amen. Continuous results. The results are this person who is born of God will continually, habitually do righteousness. I ask y'all to hear me tonight. You kids, listen to me. The result of someone who is born of God, born of Him, will continually, habitually do righteousness. This is not speaking of sinless perfection, for we all sin every day. In either thought, word, or deed, let me say this, in all three, we sin every day. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And John uses the words we and us here, indicating he's speaking of himself also. The reason we do right, or strive to do right, it's because we have been born from above. Our desire is to do right. Because we love the one who has saved us and forgiven us of all our sins. We love Him. And we want to do right by Him. Now, folks, understand, please hear me, that we will fail. Because we are still robed in this flesh. But the Bible says when a righteous man falls, he gets up again. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. I want to encourage you to turn there. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, 16. The Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, folks, this is not speaking of physically falling down on the ground or on the floor somewhere. That's not what this is speaking of. Because that doesn't go with the rest of the verse. If that's the case, then the floor would be called mischief. Or the ground there would be called mischief. Matter of fact, this word mischief, it is realities that are inherently evil, wicked, or bad. So the wicked falls into those things that are inherently evil, wicked, or bad. A righteous, saved man is not habitually rebellious to God's word. That means that we may fall into sin, but we don't stay there. Amen? We don't stay there. This word falleth in Proverbs 24:16. Watch this. You ready for this definition? Is to be overtaken, overwhelmed. To be overtaken, overwhelmed. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 1, brethren, now who's he speaking to? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. He didn't say go to that person and tell them to repent and be saved, did he? He said, restore. So where were they at? They were with the brethren and the church because they were saved or are saved. This word fault means transgressions committed out of ignorance or carelessness, a slide, slip. To be overtaken here is surprise or to take by surprise. So we see one who is overtaken, he is surprised in a fault. He is overtaken by some type of ignorance or carelessness in his life. So this causes him to slide or to slip. This also brings with it the idea of being pursued and ambushed. Folks, our enemy is relentless. He does not stop. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is the unseen stalker. We don't see him. We don't know that he's there. We don't physically hear him. He sets traps. He sets ambushes. He wants to destroy us. And he wants us to drown in doubting God's word. When we are doubting God's word, we will do nothing for God. I want you to remember what Satan was doing here in these churches at Asia Minor. He was planting heretics in these churches. These heretics were teaching and preaching heresies. They were deceiving the people. They were blinding the lost even more. And they were trying to lead away and had led away some of the young and weak. Folks, there is a difference between someone who slips up into sin and lives in sin. There is a difference. When we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. This means that we are now His children, and there are things in our lives that will reflect Him. There are things in my life that reflects my dad, because he's my dad. I've talked to people before, and they knew my last name was Oldman, and they said, you got to be Jimmy's son. Don't know if that was good or bad, but there were some things about my dad that stood out in me. Amen? I don't tell them My mama's maiden name a whole lot, because that gets me in big trouble right there. And I don't tell them who my dad's dad was, because that gets me in big trouble too sometimes. But often people know me by my dad. My kids, I hear all the time how they are so good, such good-looking kids, because they look just like their daddy. And I say, I'm glad they got that from me. Amen. Hope that's all they got from me was the good looks. And all God's people said, y'all ain't saying nothing but oh, huh? But when we are born again, born from above, we are now the children of God. And there are things in our lives, it be actions, it be words, that reflect our Heavenly Father. Turn to John chapter 8, please. And Lord willing, we'll be here the next coming weeks in the morning service in John chapter 8, in these verses. But let's quickly look at them here with reference to 1 John 2:29. John chapter 8, verse 38. The Bible says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now, what's he doing here? He's simply repeating or doing or reflecting his Father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Uh-oh. Do you see a distinction here? A difference. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Listen, folks, Abraham loved the word of God. He loved God, and he obeyed the word of God. Not perfect. Did he mess up? Yeah, he messed up. Did he pay for it? Yeah, still paying for it today. But his desire was to be obedient. He's known as the friend of God. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now he tells them again, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have our one father, even God. So now they're saying, look, our father is God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and came out of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. And then he makes it real plain and simple to them. Look at verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We reflect who we belong to. The desire of a saved person is to please his Heavenly Father. His desire will be to walk in obedience to the Scriptures. And I want to clarify this again, saying that we are not perfect. We will mess up. Someone who is very, very prideful will say, oh, I'm not going to mess up. Well, first of all, you're lying. To us, to yourself, and to God. The desire of a saved person is to bring honor and glory to the one who saved him. Look in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. We hear lots of people say today that, oh, you can't know. No one knows for sure. Well, we can know for sure. If someone does not know for sure, in this context here, it's because they don't want to know. Amen? You ever talk to somebody that says, well, can't nobody really know, but yet they want to live a lifestyle of open known sin. So it's not that they can't know. It's not that they're seeking assurance or clarity. No, they don't want to know. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Boy, John just tells it like it is, don't he? But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk, also so to walk even as he walked. Notice the words here, know, in these verses. Can we know? Can we know? We can. Not by our own opinions. Not by what someone else says. Listen, folks, people have good intentions. But understand this, in some people's eyes, no one they know is dying and going to hell. Surely they're all saved, and that's a lie to hell. We can know, the Bible says. Let me say this. Others will also know. We shouldn't have to, with arguments, convince others that we're Christians. Neither should others be in doubt. Our speech, our actions, and our lifestyles proclaim to all who we are and who we love. Amen. Please understand, and I mentioned this morning, we do not do works of righteousness to be saved. We do them because we are saved. These are evidences of salvation working out of us. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. That's speaking of salvation has happened. Now it's working out of you. Christ is exalted through us. All through the Bible, there are distinctions between the lost and the saved. Between those who make a profession and those who we could say have a possession. 1 John 2:29 is no different. There is a distinction here. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that builds righteousness is born of him. The book of 1 John is a book of examination. We've said that over and over again. It's a book of examination. And you and I, listen, we're not to turn back to the front of our Bibles to a date that's written down. That's not how you examine yourself. We examine ourselves by the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to put yourself under the microscope of Scripture. Here's a question. Why would anyone play around with eternity? Eternity. Why? Why would you play around with it? First John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." How do we know we have eternal life? Because we have believed on the name of the Son of God. And from that time forward, there are evidences in our lives that we've been born from above. Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. That God didn't just say, yeah, you're saved, but you ain't going to know it until you get to heaven. No, God said you're saved and you can know it. And others can also. Amen. Amen. We know that Christ is righteous. And we know, according to the Word of God, that all who are saved bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. A saved person lives like a saved person. A lost person lives like a lost person. Lord willing, next week we'll get into chapter 3. Until then, stay in the Word. Do kingdom work. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the evidences in our lives that we can see, others can see. Thank you, Lord, for your word which examines us and shows us us. Thank you for the faith that you give us, O Lord. We may trust in you and follow you. Lord, we need help. Father, help us to see our need of your help and walking with you in the sanctification process. And Father, we are sanctified as much as we want to be. We ask you for grace that we may crucify our flesh and serve you. Thank you for loving us, O Lord, so that we can love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.